And away we go. It is a Friday, September 26, 2025. 15 and a half minutes past the hour. This is the show with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker is not here as of yet, so we are going to kind of play it by ear here and see what happens, see if Pastor Whitaker shows. Maybe he's just a little delayed at this particular point, so we'll see what happens. So we're going to continue on with our password game here and see how it all goes. So now, our new password, or a new clue to our password is, let's see here, what is something that would be good? You know, okay, I've got one. Cabin. Cabin is the clue word. C-A-B-I-N. What is the password? Cabin. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Cabin. C-A-B-I-N. And Matt's along with us here. Now again, how you play password. I have a word in the back of my mind. I give you clue words, and you guess to see if you can figure out what the password is, which is the hidden word here that we're trying to get you to.
Why are cabins so expensive?
I don't know. I don't think that they are. A lot of people build their own cabin.
I'd live in a cabin.
But the clue word here is cabin. C-A-B-I-N. Cabin. So what might the password be when it comes to cabin? 740-383-9944. Now, there could be a lot of words here that go along with cabin.
Yep. I got one.
You got one in your brain.
Yep.
Well, we'll see if anybody else comes up with any others. Cabin.
Well, I mean, I can think
C-A-B-I-N.
But, like, you know.
And again, Pastor Whitaker might be delayed here this morning. We'll find out momentarily. C-A-B-I-N. What could the password be? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Cabin. This could be difficult as well, because I'm trying to think off the top of my head what you could match with cabin.
I can think of three things now.
Three things that you could match with cabin?
Four things now.
Really?
I mean, one of them makes sense. The other ones are kind of, you know, one of them especially is kind of abstract.
Well, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. We're waiting for our first answer here. Or the arrival of Pastor Whitaker, one or the other. Cabin, C-A-B-I-N.
Oh, well.
What might the password be? Cabin. Okay, here comes a guess. Let's see if it's the correct answer. Go ahead, caller.
Well, this would make my sunshiny day if I get this one. How about log cabin?
Not log cabin, but a good guess.
Oh, my goodness, that's my love and glory. Got one sitting on the property, and I looked out, and I said, it must be a log cabin.
Good guess. Not log cabin. How about that?
I love log cabins.
People do love the log cabins. There's no doubt about that.
I'd live in a log cabin if I could.
Well, I think some people like them. Yeah. I knew a guy who built his own log cabin.
How much was that?
I don't know. He lived in it. He kept expanding it over the years. So it got pretty big.
Why not?
I guess. Got pretty big by the end. It is not log cabin. So the password clue is cabin.
Did he build his own log cabin like the old school way? Like, did he like just fell trees and then laid trees on top of each other?
That was the impression I got.
That's cool. That's even cooler.
All right. It was a nice place on the inside.
Oh, I bet.
Did a lot of work on that thing. Cabin. C-A-B-I-N. What is the password? cabin. Again, this is difficult, I think, for a lot of people. Maybe there are a few words that go with cabin. I don't know. It's kind of difficult for people. Go ahead, caller.
How about fever?
Not cabin fever, but a good guess. Not fever, so it is not cabin fever.
What is cabin fever?
Basically, you're tired of being inside.
Then leave.
You want to go outside. Like winter, people will say they have cabin fever.
Oh, I see. You're like trapped inside.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, so it's not cabin fever. It's not log cabin. So what is the password if the guest word is cabin? C-A-B-I-N.
Is it syrup?
Who's going to get it? 740-383-9944. I think that's syrup. It's not syrup.
It's all the same.
No, no. Where's the Y in your word?
What do you mean?
Syrup. There's no Y in that. Go ahead, caller.
How about a cabin cruiser?
Not a cabin cruiser.
Have you ever been on a cabin cruiser, Scott?
I have not.
Matt?
I have not.
Do you know what a cabin cruiser is on Lake Erie?
No. Like a houseboat?
Scott?
No, no.
Well, that's a real nice ship or a real nice boat, pretty good size, and it's got bunk beds in it and stuff, and people sleep overnight in it. And rich craft people have some real nice cabin cruisers. I mean, 25, 35 footers and stuff like that, go on out. But, Lake Erie, that was one of the things I love to do, just go up there and look at the different dockages of the cabin cruisers around there. They're a really nice boat, a really nice ship. Well, they're not a ship, not a boat, they're a cruiser. And they had a toilet in them. And you know what the bad thing about that was? I had a 21-foot cruiser, but it was an outboard, inboard thing that it was overnighter, they called it. And it had bunk beds in it and stuff.
Well,
but, you know, they had a toilet in it, and you know where the stuff out of the toilet went?
Where's that?
Right in Lake Erie.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a thing, the pollution of Lake Erie, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, Pastor Whitaker has arrived, I'm glad to report. And so we're going to pause our game here that we were playing, and we'll come back to that later on. Pastor Whitaker, good to see you.
Good to see you. I was poking along in traffic, and I pulled in here, and I looked at my watch, went, oh, man.
We just continued our password game from this morning, and we're playing along. Yep, we're good. So, Pastor Whitaker, what's new?
Oh, what isn't new?
I know. Caught up in traffic, that's no fun.
Yeah. Actually, Frank's on his way up the steps. Can you look for him?
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Frank was came in this morning, and you guys remember Frank. Frank was on the show many times with me, and I just told him, just come along and enjoy yourself, and he'll be here. I don't know that he'll put anything in, but here anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be good to see him. Haven't seen him in a while.
What a week. What's new with you, Scott?
Come on, you know, Frank. Not much. Staying busy. Frank, good to see you. It's been a while. How you been? Good to see you.
I'm good.
Yeah, have a seat there. Have a seat. All righty. Well, you know, not much. Honestly, it's been a busy week. Went to Little Brown Jug last week. We talked about that. And guess getting ready for autumn. The weather kind of changed on us.
For autumn. Hey, I was talking the other day to one of our deputies about the shooting this week in Marion. How sad was that?
Oh, that was terrible.
That it would even happen. Really, you know, makes these guys aware to, you know, stay on their toes all the time. And, you know, I don't even know what would possess somebody to do that.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a societal change or what it is. It's unfortunate, you know, if it is.
Yeah, and you know, I look at like for instance, we had another shooting this week, you know, with ICE, and you know, the thing is, we can have dialogue in this country without getting violent. And what's crazy about the violence is that, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter, but what I mean is, regardless, I should say, of where you stand politically or in law enforcement or anything that you do, the shooting of one is not going to slow the message down. There's too many. Mm-hmm. And all it is really, when they say it's a senseless act of violence, I mean, most violence is senseless, unless, of course, it happens, sadly, to come about in war or in law enforcement or something like that. But it is a senseless act because it makes no sense. You're not. Why are you doing this other than anger, mental illness? I want to make a name for myself. You know, I think everybody at some point in their life wants to make a name for themselves. Haven't you, Scott, kind of once a radio host and what you do and a reporter? And, you know, you don't mind having a name for yourself. People know who Scott Spears is and listen to the show. And,
yeah.
And you know, no matter what we do. But who would want a name for themselves for being someone that is blocked away for the rest of their life? Everyone even forgets their name after about 6 months. So you're no longer, if you think you're a celebrity, you certainly got your 5 minutes of fame because that's all it's going to be. And then it's going to be negativity. Sadly enough, the people that truly suffer in those situations are the family of the victim and the family of the person that perpetrated the crime. They're the ones that have to live with it for the rest of their life. And all for somebody's 5 minutes of, I'm going to do this thing.
You know, it's interesting. It's weird that this topic would come up because I did have this conversation maybe 2 nights ago on the phone with somebody. It started because a greater discussion was being had a couple weeks ago on the air about, I was talking about when I first got into broadcasting, which has been a while ago now. It was a rule that no matter what the crime, or no matter, even if it wasn't a crime, if it was a car accident, whatever it was, you did not report minors' names. You did not report minors' names. You just didn't. We still don't.
Right.
Because that's the training that you have. Now, there's no rule against it, no law, but it's just a rule in newsrooms that you don't do that. And I had a long discussion with somebody about this on air 1 week. They said, well, you know, I'm a taxpayer, and I think we should have all the information that you have. Why should you have the information? And I said, how does that add to the story in any way that you know their name? So that was where the conversation started. But then we got into also something that has come about recently that didn't used to be the case, is when there's a school shooting, or when there's something of that nature, you know, anything awful like that, now we hesitate to report the person who does the act because we don't want them to become well known for knowing that. Because people do know Lee Harvey Oswald. They do know James Earl Ray. They do know John Wilkes Booth. And these people were not known for anything but being terrible. So we don't even do that as much. And if we do it, we'll announce it a couple times, but we don't harp on it like it used to be done.
Right. And I think that's a good thing. You know, give you an example. Young people, I mean, anyone that has spent a lot of time working with young people, as I have over the years, and many of our listeners, I'm sure, have, and they raise kids and whatnot. Young people up through age 25 to 26 think they're smarter than every adult. I mean, they just do. I mean, they got the answers. You know, it's just how they're wired. They're wired that, you know, what they take in is the way that it is. And then what begins to happen is they begin to mature a little bit. And life circumstances come into their life, and they start seeing things as they are. They're in the work field. They've got responsibilities. And all of a sudden, many times, their whole attitude changes about things. And I was just having this conversation the other day with someone that I was talking about things that I said when I was 19 or 20 and that I remember to this day. Do you know why? They embarrassed the tar out of me because I said things to people that, thinking back on it years later, went, oh my word, I can't believe I said that to that person. And I was so sincere at the time, they must have thought I was a total idiot. And here I am 50 years later, it embarrasses me. But see, the thing is, we do mature. Now, with young people, when we're talking about teenagers that are in school, we're talking about teenagers that commit crimes, there's a lot more possibility of copycats, because it's just like when these kids do these crazy YouTube things that end up killing themselves. You know, also there's a string of copycats doing the same thing. It's because of their age they're more likely to have people copy what they do. So it's a very good idea not to let that out, not to glorify, that's a terrible choice of words, but in their mind it's glorify what they did, and you're going to have possibly a lot more impressionable minds saying, hey, you know what, I'm a nobody at school, and look what he did, and everyone knows who he is now, or look what she did, and everyone knows who she is now. Maybe I'll do the same thing because, you know, in their mind, my life just sucks anyway.
Well, you know, it's interesting where we started here, and again, maybe this is just a sign of where we've gotten in the last 45 years, but, you know, we talk about political violence, and that seems to be what is right now in the news, and it's interesting because, again, this was the same conversation I was having about names with people and what should be reported. I was thinking back, you know, the last big act, huge act of political violence was when Ronald Reagan was shot. And when Ronald Reagan was shot, this is 1982. Now, if you look, find any news reporting at that time, because that's pre-internet. Now, this is also might be part of it. It's pre-internet.
Huge part of it.
Yeah. Find any reporting at that time, as soon as Reagan shot, where people are saying, is that guy a Republican? Is that guy a Democrat who shot him? That is not the conversation that's being had. The conversation that's being had is the president okay? And who is the guy? Where did he come from? How did this happen?
I think that's a lot of the outrage over with people over on both sides over, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's comments. He immediately made it on the air like that. He immediately made it, as others I'm sure did too, but made it a political football. And in the way that it was done. It was interesting, too, something we, Scott, well, I'm going to jump all over the place today, something we talked about, you know, we were talking about, you know, the chairman of the FCC saying that you could do this the easy way or the hard way. I listened to that whole thing in context. And basically what he was saying was, he wasn't saying you could fire him now or we're going to fire him. What he was basically saying was, you know, this stuff is getting too edgy for too long. And, you know, either take care of this and get this stuff where it's supposed to be, or we can do it the easy way or the hard way, which wasn't necessarily calling for him to be fired. But the interesting response to me was, and it's a shame that we've gotten so, we have such political blinders on that neither side can see what the other side does. It was all of the calling, like, for instance, all the calling for free speech over Jimmy Kimmel. It wasn't a free speech issue. It never was. I mean, it was a fact that you know, the networks said we're not going to, you know, they have a vested interest in what their people do. And they said, with this backlash, we need to pull this back right now. And that's exactly what it said they were going to do. They said, we are going to indefinitely suspend. What that means is that we're going to do it for a day or we're going to do it for 10 years. But right now, let this thing calm down. Now, we were talking about, you know, the other thing that we talked about was the fact that the vulgarity issue that the FCC should be doing. So it was very interesting. I brought this up, and it was, you know, I really found it quite interesting. It's okay, phone. Sorry. So anyway, real quickly, I want to play this for you.
Jimmy Kimmel never saw a conservative get canceled that he didn't celebrate, ever. Just a walk down memory lane, so you can see how he behaved when, for example, Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox.
Fox News has severed bow ties with Tucker Carlson. After all these years, they are parting ways, which means he was fired. I mean, that's really what parting ways means. Tucker couldn't be reached for comment. He's already on a plane to Moscow to meet with his manager. But what a shock. I mean, what an absolutely delightful shock this is. Now Tucker can spend more time at home tanning his testicles and touching himself to that sexy green M&M. Sadly, he's probably not done poisoning old people's brains. The question now is, where will he do it next? Will he go to OAN? Will he go to Newsmax? Will he crawl back up Satan's fiery beehole from whence he came? We don't know. One of the most despicable Mother Tuckers ever to appear on American television.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's vulgarity.
But now here's the interesting thing. Jimmy Kimmel did not get censored for that.
Huh?
Did not, and FCC why, did not come in.
But that is why, when the FCC talked about it, they said, you know, this has been going on, it's getting closer to the edge, either clean it up or we're going to do something about it. Because that's just a snippet of the hundreds of times it's been like that. And that is, I mean, they've let it slide and let it slide and let it slide and let it slide. Well, this one, there was so much pure upset and vitriol over what happened with Charlie Kirk. The country was on fire. I mean, not literally like it happens sometimes, but literally people were really, this was a personal thing with them, and it was huge. And it could have gotten, who knows where it could have went, but he was fueling a fire that didn't need fueled, and he wasn't being honest either. And the point was, they came in and said, you know what, enough of this. This has got to stop. But what I'm saying is, with Kimmel, it was never a matter of free speech, because these very people call for everyone to be fired on the other side. They did it to Rush Limbaugh. They tried to get him off the air. Matter of fact, Rush Limbaugh was denied buying into a pro football team because they said, you know, he's too controversial. You know, well, that's a cancel culture thing. And then you had, you know, at the same time, they've done, you know, everything to get people off Fox News. We know that on social media, so many people were blocked. And what I'm saying is, it's a two-sided issue. And for all of a sudden them to come out with Jimmy Kimmel and say he needs free, he celebrated people that lost their position to speak their voice. And you know, so my point being, here's my point. We all just need to tone it down. For crying out loud, start speaking with respect to people the way that we should. Get the accusational stuff out of your mouth about Nazis and fascists. And I'll give you a good example. The other day, and agree or disagree, the president came out and announced that they bleed from what they saw, and I'm not an expert on this, so I'm not speaking that way, that Tylenol could be a real problem with autism in women and women. He did not tell them he was taking it off the shelves. He said women need to have this warning. Think about it before you do this. That's all that it was. I mean, it wasn't anything he was going to do. All of a sudden, I'm listening to these news people saying that he's a fascist and is going to force women to not take something they've always taken for pain. And there were actually women that were going out and taking handfuls of it to prove, because you know the Trump derangement syndrome is so bad. Now, whether you agree or not with what he said about Tylenol, he had every right to say it, and if he believes that was a problem, do it. They never tried to stop anything or pull it off the shelves. But the tense level in this country is so extreme that this is what people are doing. And we've got to – we have always been a country in America, I think. Whether you agree with someone or not, they have a right to speak. And if that right wasn't there, a lot of laws would have never got changed in this country. We would have never had women voting. We would have never had the Emancipation Proclamation and so many other things in this country that we have. We would have never had if we weren't allowed open dialogue. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So why all of a sudden is everyone attacking all kinds of open dialogue? Now, one thing that has never been allowed in this country, and the people didn't allow it, they didn't have to make laws about it. People didn't allow false and nasty vulgarity. And now it just seems to be, you hear the people laughing in Kimmel's audience. They loved it. They loved it. That should have been booed. Whether it was someone making a comment about a Democrat or a Republican or whatever it was, that comment should have been booed. But we've gotten to a point in this country where everybody just wants somebody on their side, and even when they're wrong, they don't get a chance to. People will jump on board just because they're in there. You see it with Trump. There's people that are diehard Trumpers. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump would do. Now, it's real interesting. A lady was talking to my daughter the other day. She said, I agree with a lot of the things Donald Trump's doing, But she said, I just can't do Trump. I just can't. Well, and then my daughter and I continued this conversation, and we were talking about, you know, the talk that he gave at Charlie Kirk's memorial thing. And she said, you know, he made so many good points, but so many times during that I would say, I just wish he'd shut up. And you know, the honest reaction to someone is, look, I like the policies. I agree that you want to take us back to where, you know, what did the Constitution say? What our founding fathers say? We need to get back to a more simple time and with this runaway train. And you know, there's a lot of people that say this is taking us in the direction we need to go. We have a president that truly supports conservative causes. And me being a conservative, I love that. I love that about him. I love what he's doing. I love the things that he's putting forward. But still, I don't love the rhetoric. I don't love the, you know, his favorite line is, it's going to be bigger and better than ever. Nothing's ever been this big. Never. I get sick of hearing it. Just shut up. Say, you know, I really feel this is good for the country. Leave it alone. You know, nothing's always got to be the best, the bigger, the, you know, people get tired of hearing it. And I don't like his bragging. I don't care for it at all. I don't care. Interesting thing that happened during that memorial service was that Charlie Kirk's wife, you know, she said, look, regardless of anything out there, we've got to start loving people. She said, I forgive this young man that shot my husband. And I want you to have that forgiving heart too. And she said, as a nation, we need to start loving people first, whether we agree with them or not. And then Donald Trump comes up next and he's saying, you know, I hope you're not upset with me for this, and hope maybe I can get to the point you are someday. But I hate people that disagree with me. I just truly hate them. I hate the other side. And I'm thinking, did you really need to say that? And first of all, if that's true, which I believe most of the things he says he truly believes, I think he really does hate them. We shouldn't hate anyone. And it doesn't matter which side it is. There are people that hate me because I'm a pastor. I remember one day I went on Marketplace, and I messaged a guy that I wanted to buy something that he had. Well, evidently, he immediately pulled up my profile just to check me out. And he comments back, I wouldn't sell to a pastor in a million years. You no good, blah, 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 blah. I'd give it away. I'd lose money before I'd sell it to you. What in the world did I ever do to that man? But because I was in a different camp, he hated me. And this is the thing that we have to tone back in our country. My grandkids, I've got a slew of them, so I get a lot of feedback. I've got one grandchild that there was an English teacher in their high school that all she did was literally say vile stuff about particular candidates she didn't like, and then basically told the students, if you agree with them, you're just as bad as they are. That's not what teachers should be doing. You know what I mean? It's not what preachers should be doing. You know, and Frank can attest to this. I teach people what the Word of God says. I believe in the inerrant Word of Scripture. I believe that it is wholly inspired by God, and I believe what the Bible says. It's my guideline for life. And from the pulpit, I will tell people what the Bible says and what they can do to have a fulfilled life that God meant them to have. I don't attack anyone from the pulpit. I don't tell people how to vote. I don't. Have I ever, Frank?
No.
Never. I tell them that as a Christian, what God expects of them as a person, and then they go do it. But yet, I will listen to people that are supposedly pastors. We're called ministers of the gospel. And they will be literally up there just slamming and saying the most vile things about a political candidate. Well, what are they doing up there? You know, what they're doing is they're teaching their congregation to hate, mm-hmm. because the hate comes directly from them, and then they're telling their congregation to hate. There was a guy, I'm never going to give you a word to say it.
It's okay.
I'm rolling, buddy.
It's okay.
There was a pastor years ago, I'm going to get in trouble if someone hears this that knows me, I don't care. Never have really cared when it comes to telling the truth. But years ago, there was a pastor down at I too sat, and I will use the name on this. Frank remembers this, I'm sure. But down at 270 and 23, and it was called, was it Worthington Baptist Church? Is that what they called themselves?
Yeah, I think that's red, white, and blue building.
Big red, white, and blue roof. Couldn't miss it. This man, he had it in for Catholics so bad that he couldn't keep it out of a message. And they went and they protested, they held signs, and just trashing Catholics all day long. It was like his mission in life was to trash Catholics. And I went to school with two of his kids, and I remember that, you know, I had to square him up a couple times. You know, his daughter will always say, well, this is my dad says this. I said, can you ever think for yourself? I said, I don't want to hear what your dad says. What do you think? But anyway, long story short, that man was never, ever going to bring a Catholic or a former Catholic or a person that heard his deep hatred ever into the fold, because all he showed was hate. And all he preached was, in my opinion, hate. It was constant. And that's not what we're called to do. You know, when someone said what are the greatest commandments, when the apostles said what are the greatest commandments, what did Jesus say?
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
That was the second one. What was the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Yeah. And love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're a pastor, that's what you need to be teaching. Look, Scott, you could be so far on the other side of me politically, it's unbelievable. I don't know where you're at, but you could be so far. You could be way out there. You know, when you go way out there on either end of politics, you're into some weirdos. Now, you got to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
On either end. You know, you go way too far, and you're way too far. But anyway, I would never hate you. I would never hate you.
Christ gave us another commandment on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, this commandment I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. And
that's pretty extreme.
That is very extreme.
Because we're talking about a Jesus that voluntarily went to a cross because he loved the people so much and went through unbelievable beating and spatting and mocking and died one of the most disgusting deaths that anyone ever could. But he tells them to love them as he loved them. That means he's calling us to an extreme love for other people. And if we do that, look, if you're out there in a church today, if you're out there in a Christian church today, if you would claim to be in my camp as a believer, you better be spreading a whole lot of love. Now, I'm not saying condoning bad things. We were never called to do that. We were called to tell people the truth. And people say, Pastor, don't judge me. I don't judge anyone. I teach you what is in the Word of God. God does the judging. I just relay it to you because I care for you. And see, that's the other thing is, you know, when you're called a hater based on your views, if I say to Scott Spears, Scott, I really want you to understand this and know this. What you're doing, I think, is wrong. It's going to bring you to a bad place. And I believe from my heart, this is where you need to be. And I care for your life, I care for your eternity, and I want to share this with you. That is coming to you with love. Now, say something you believe in is fine. Say that you're I'll just give an example, you know, because maybe you felt you were born a pedophile. That's just something that you've never got out of your mind, but it's okay, it's my decision, and that's what I want to be. Well, I hope someone didn't take that out of context, yeah. Put parentheses around it. But anyway, and I'm telling you, Scott, come on, man, that's wrong. Let me show you in the Word of God where it's wrong. And it's going to eat your soul, and you're going to end up in eternity without God if you stay on this path. Now, you can say, well, you're nothing but a hater because you don't approve of what I do and blah, 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 and you hate me and blah, blah. No, what I'm really saying is, Scott, I love you and care about you so much that I want you to change your life for your sake. And see, that's the difference, and that's the approach the church needs to take. When you're out there holding signs and saying, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell, There's no love in that. There is no love in that, and there has to be. And that's where our president needs to grow. If he's a Christian like he says he is, then hopefully he'll grow in that direction. If he is, he will. Because like he said to Charlie's widow, he said, you know, you can pray that I get where you're at someday, and maybe I will. Recognizing I need to be there, but he's not. And as people in this country, we used to truly care about each other, not celebrate their weaknesses, celebrate all the things that happened to them. It's kind of like a couple of years ago. Remember when that guy went into that, it wasn't even in this country, I don't think, where the guy that went into the gay and transgender nightclub and just shot it up to pieces, killed
it. It was down in Florida, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Florida, yeah. Florida, wasn't it? Okay. I just don't remember the specifics. I'm getting old. But anyway, any Christian, anyone that calls them, I'll say calls himself, you can call yourself anything, that celebrated that, better question whether they're a true believer and has had a change in their life or not. Because nobody should celebrate that. Those people were brutally murdered. And that's where their life ended, right there. But I want to tell you something. I am sure there are plenty of people that celebrated it. And it's the same way when, if you would see a bunch of very conservative people get killed, just like what you saw it happen with Charlie Kirk. If anyone's ever spent time listening to him, he loved people. There's no question. And he loved everyone. And, you know, so many people have come out. I shared that post with you a week ago. The guy that told me that, he hated gays and he hated blacks. And that's just so far from the truth in the conversations that people had. And people have come out and said, hey, look, I need to tell you the truth about this guy. I've known him for years. And black people were coming out and doing that. But the truth is there's people that will celebrate that man's death because something they believe about him is contrary to what they believe. You know, if you call yourself a Christian and tomorrow Kamala Harris gets a bullet in her head and you're celebrating, you got a problem. And we've got to get back to proper dialogue in this country. Look, I can think someone's a creep without openly saying it. I can say, well, you know, I'll keep my thoughts to myself, and I, you know, what's that old saying? If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything
at
all.
Don't say anything at all.
And sometimes it's better. Maybe you do need to speak out against something wrong, but I don't think that you, just like that comment with Webb Jimmy Kimmel, you know, crawling back up the devil's a-hole where he came from and calling him a mother trucker and all the, whatever it was. Yeah, come on, man. I realize that you're late night, but what are you really spreading? You know, we just and it's on both sides. I've heard stuff on both sides of the aisle. I'm just saying we have to start coming back to where we're supposed to be as a country. Give someone a voice. You know, you don't have to get left behind. You've asked me 10 times now to come on this show in the last 2 years, and I showed up a week ago. And if you don't agree with what I say, you didn't have to give me a voice. You know where I come from. We've worked together now for
5 years.
5 years. You know exactly where I come from. Well, if you may not agree with 90% of what I say, you don't have to give me a voice, but you do.
Well, it's important. It's important. And I think that's the point. It's important to have all voices heard and around.
I didn't give you much of a chance to voice.
Well, it's okay. But it's interesting because what we're really talking about here, and just to drive to the bigger issue I think that we're having here, as I said last week about the Jimmy Kimmel thing, I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. I didn't watch him come back on Tuesday night. Him going off the air or being on the air has no impact on me at all. I think what the issue became there, as you said with the FCC chairman, Jimmy Kimmel made the comment that got him taken off the air on Tuesday. The FCC chairman made his comment on Wednesday. Disney pulled him on Wednesday, right after the FCC made his comment about easy way or the hard way, and Disney brought him back 6 days later. Now, the problem is, and I don't think it's good to celebrate anybody being canceled. Tucker Carlson was taken off the air. But the difference was Fox fired Tucker Carlson. That was the FCC did not say, Fox, take him off the air. Now, if Disney did not want Tucker Carlson back on the air, they didn't have to put him there. That's their decision. They're a network. They
you
don't have
Kimmel,
to do that.
You mean Kimmel.
Kimmel, yeah.
With networks, they have affiliates.
Exactly.
And two of the affiliates for ABC said, we don't want him.
One being ours.
We're not going to air him.
And they're still not airing.
And they're still not.
The money, that's where the decision was made.
And they're allowed to do that.
But
absolutely.
What you said, what I said when we started the show about the FCC, what they said is, clean this stuff up or else. They didn't say fire him or else. They never told them to fire him. And that was the narrative putting out there, and that is not what they said. They said this type of rhetoric, what's been going on, has to come to an end, and we got to start. That was kind of like you said, well, the FCC didn't say anything when he played that tape that I did. No, but they came out and they finally said, look, this has gotten to a point. You guys either clean up your program or else. They didn't say to take him off the air.
And
they didn't, and what they very easily could have done was just pulled him aside and said, look, clean it up, quit being this bad. You know, you work for us. There's a standard we want here, and you're not meeting it. And now the FCC is starting to talk about some of the stuff you're doing. Just, hey, look, clean this up. They chose to pull him off the air because two of their affiliates came in and said, we're done. We're pulling off whether you do or not. Now they're looking at cash dollars and big ones. They did not pull him off the air because of what the bonehead at the FCC does. And even the administration said that he made a bonehead comment. And, you know, they said Donald Trump had him pulled off there. That was baloney. Trump had nothing to do with that. Now, there's things that I'm sure Trump has plenty to do with. But you didn't hear Trump, you know, he's back on the air. Do you see anyone trying to get him off? I think what the situation is, here's my whole thing with Jimmy Kimmel. Hey, if you want to watch that guy, go ahead. I told you, I tried to watch him one night and I had to shut it off. Because of the vulgarity, not because of the political stuff. He made some horribly vulgar comments that I found disgusting and thought, you know what, I turned this on to relax before I go to bed. All I'm doing is getting ticked off. So my point is, I think that he's back on. If people want to watch him, watch him. But don't try to justify your desire for him to be on because it was some great conspiracy and it was all about free speech, because it was not about free speech. It's not, has anything to do with free speech is why it was put back on. Yes, there was a lot of pushback, and maybe Disney said, we better get him back on. This is getting kind of loud. I don't know what the decisions were. You and I weren't in a boardroom. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if you want to watch the guy, watch the guy. I don't see, you know how much that market share has dropped in the last few years. People said, oh, they finally put him back on because they're losing all this money. No, I think Disney might have been in trouble because they were getting stuff canceled. But that show has not been profitable in a long time. And it's because, it's like Johnny Carson said. He said, we got to play to both sides of the audience. You know, if we don't, we just lost half the country. And that's where that profit goes. Jimmy Kimmel and is playing to one audience and only one audience. He lost the entire other side, and that's dollars and cents.
Well, I think the FCC, if this is going to be their stance, they should put out a playbook on what you can say and what you can't say, because they do not have that.
No, but and, they should. People should have some common sense.
Well, you know, because here becomes the problem. You played the Megyn Kelly clip where she did the Jimmy Kimmel clip, which you felt was vulgar, and I'm not saying it wasn't. But if I would play the Jimmy, if you're on a network and that is deemed by the FCC to be vulgar, even if you're proving a point, you can't play it on your show either, or you're going off too. She did. And I'm guessing she did not come under any attack for playing that clip.
Now, she did not say that she was that it was vulgar. What she was saying was, in her clip, was that for somebody talking about, you know, how, you know, free speech and all this, you know.
Oh, right. It's hypocritical.
She was saying it was hypocritical. She wasn't going off the vulgar basis, and she probably thought, well, that's within the guidelines. I'm not saying it wasn't within their guidelines, and you're right. They should have specific guidelines that are spelled out where they can step in. But for everyone to step up, I mean, there were 400 people in Hollywood that signed a petition about free speech. It wasn't about free speech. It was about, hey, it was about a company saying, let's calm this down. They do it every day. They do it all the time. I mean, look at people like Roseanne Barr, canceled. What was the lady that sells the pots and pans on the show?
Paula Deen.
Paula Deen, mm-hmm. canceled. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people. Well, what about their free speech? And the point is, none of that's ever brought up. Now, I'm not saying what they did was right or wrong. I'm even not sure exactly what they did. But my point is, we have people canceled all the time because the companies feel that this is, we're going to take a hit if we don't. So let's just kind of get this person out of the way. And I think that's what they did. And I'll be honest with you. I could be wrong, but I will be willing to bet within the next 6 months there will be a change in whether Jimmy Kimmel will be on that show or not. I think there's going to be an immediate bump because all the people saying, yeah, we're going to watch Jimmy. But it's going to go right back to where it was, where the network was actually losing money drastically on the show. It was hemorrhaging.
What I think was interesting this past week in that whole thing, and again, a network has the right to cancel any show they want. And as I said, if it had nothing to do with the FCC, and it had nothing to do with Disney's merger, which is pending with the FCC, and it had nothing to do with that, then terrible timing for FCC man to come out there the same day and make those comments.
That's why there were so many people, even in the administration, said that it was a really stupid comment.
Yeah.
They should have never
made
it.
And Ted Cruz said he did not like what Jimmy Kimmel said, but he said he had every right to say it.
There you go.
Mitch McConnell said he had every right to say it. A lot of people said that.
You know who else would have said that? Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was what was one of the big things going around. So the fact that he got pulled for saying that was weird for a lot of people because there were conservatives, one of which I think would have been Charlie Kirk, who would have said, don't take him off for saying that. And that's why when somebody like Megyn Kelly goes after that, you think, well, now wait a second. What point are you making? Because Charlie Kirk, I don't think, would have been making this point.
She didn't say she agreed or disagreed with him being on the air. What she said was, here's examples of them doing the same, but now they're screaming free speech.
Oh, right. I think that, you
and
know.
That was her whole point.
Right.
That this is so hypocritical. That's where she was.
Right.
And that is why. I mean, she never said whether, I'm sure Megyn Kelly thought, you know, he has every right to be on there. Most people do. I think that, look, it was a very, very, emotions were running very, very high in the conservative camp. When that happened, and it was, why wouldn't they be running high? You know, this was a good husband and father, and he loved people. He was on campuses talking to kids. He handed them the mic and said, talk to me. I mean, and this guy is just brutally shot. Emotions are running high. And Jimmy Kimmel goes on and with no sensitivity whatsoever made the comments that he did. And it caused a huge firestorm. And somebody was trying to put that firestorm out. You know, the conservatives have never, up until that point, had this great rally to try to get him off the air. They know what he's about. They just don't watch him. But that was kind of like, whoa, you know, it would be like, for instance, if Hillary Clinton is the darling of the Democrat Party, has been for years, if someone brutally shot Hillary Clinton, and give me a conservative host, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity went on and started making brutal comments, insensitive comments about Hillary Clinton. He'd be off the air tomorrow.
Shouldn't be, though.
But he would be, and you know he would be, because the left would go crazy.
Well, see, here's the thing, though.
It's the same thing on the other side.
Right, but what I really don't know is I do know that there were people, and I don't want to name them, but there were people on the air who made fun of Nancy Pelosi's husband being attacked on shows.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely. They were not pulled. And
was he brutally murdered?
Well, no, he wasn't murdered.
There was a difference. And a lot of people didn't even know who he was, or he was not a huge, huge public figure. You know, you didn't know who Charlie Kirk was prior to this.
I did.
But I want to tell you, there wasn't a conservative in the United States that didn't know who Charlie Kirk was. there wasn't a student on 90% of the campuses in this country that didn't know who Charlie Kirk was. So this is someone that was out there and up front. This guy was on the road every day of the week going to college campuses. He hit, I mean, I think they said he had been to over 1,000 college campuses. So the students, whether they liked him or not, they knew who he was. And this was really something that was really up there. You know, the comments about, you know, I hear all the time guys saying something about Nancy Pelosi, you know, staggering to the refrigerator to get her ice cream. It's stupid. It's I think it's stupid. And we all should think it's stupid.
Right. But I guess the point is, I don't know that anybody being attacked or anybody being killed is a good thing to make a joke about. I don't know that that's
funny. That's what I've been saying this whole show.
Right. But I don't know that, as I said, that when Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked and did almost die, that the people who went on and made fun of that, who did, they were not pulled.
No, and neither, I'm not saying that Kimmel should have been pulled. What I'm saying is, people should have looked and said, that's disgusting. I'm not listening to this stuff. Just like I turned on Jimmy Kimmel and said the same thing. That's Colbert. Could watch him either. Now, Colbert did get, you know, they were, Colbert's hemorrhaging money so fast, they said, we can't do this too. And the point is, I couldn't watch Stephen Colbert, but did you see me online making posts, that guy needs to be taken off the air, he needs canceled, he needs fired, no, I didn't do that.
But I think if that is what had happened with Kimmel, nobody would have had a problem. If the ratings had went down because of the comments he made, and they had bottomed out, and the sponsors did not want to be part of that show anymore, Disney certainly wouldn't put him back on. Because there's no reason to.
I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter. If they would have canceled him, there would have been people saying that it was politically motivated.
They could have.
And they would have been going after the companies, boycotting the companies that said, we're not supporting this anymore.
But people, that's the problem with the money in anything. People show up with their money. They go, well,
the problem with churches today. Some of them are all about the money. That's right, but people, we name a few.
I don't like what you said, so I'm pulling my money. Okay, well, you know, that's what people do now. And I think that is a little strange, because I think you would want to hear what somebody else has to say. And if Jimmy Kimmel's not making the network any money, I don't care what he's saying. He's not going to be around very long.
Well, that's what I just said. I think he's going to be gone certainly within the year, because prior to this, they were hemorrhaging money with Jimmy Kimmel no matter what anyone said.
Well, he's contracted through May. So he'll be there through May. But
so the point being, yeah, I mean, money gets in the way of a lot of things. But if you own a network and you have a certain agenda, you know, it's just like, for instance, you can't tell me that the people that own the three major networks don't want liberal programming. I mean, who do they support? 90% of the ads and the things they said during this last campaign, 90% were pro Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money was spent.
No, I'm talking about the networks, the news networks. They're reporting, they're talking. Almost all negative with Donald Trump. So my point being, those networks are owned by people that lean to the left. And because they lean to the left, they're expecting certain things out of the people that work for them. And you're going to get that with any company. You're going to get that with any company. Look, either make yourself a variety show, a talk show, or make yourself a show that does reporting. You try to do reporting here. Now, someone might say, as most do, Scott leans really left. And it's because of the people on your show. It's not because of you. It's because of the majority of the guests that you have on your show, the people close to you, very close to you, that are with you all the time, are left. So people assume that. But my point being, you give everyone a voice. Some of these networks aren't doing that. You know?
Well, and usually that's from the people who tend to be more conservative. The liberal people aren't that big a fan of me when I'm around them either.
Well,
they say the exact opposite.
Because you're giving me a voice.
Yeah, that's right. So I can usually tell people's political beliefs by what they're telling me that I am. Because if you're telling me I'm a conservative, then you're usually a liberal. Then you're saying you're a conservative. If you're saying I'm a liberal, you're a conservative. It's. I mean, I walked into a Democratic meeting not too long ago.
That.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
they weren't happy to see me.
Yeah,
let me tell you about that.
Kind of like a man out.
And but yet DeWine
feel weird, doesn't it?
Well, I expect it, because you're reporting the truth.
And how did DeWine treat you?
Fine.
Exactly. Fine. And my point is, You see my point. But I'm saying that I believe that most people see your politics the way as being liberal because of the people you surround yourself with. And 90% of the people you surround yourself with are people that are very liberal. And anyone that, you know, has been around a while knows that. Now, maybe you surround yourself with them because you want to hear the other side all the time. I don't know. But, you know, there's no question where Mary Ellen's at, is there?
Right, but I see Mary Ellen for 2 hours a week. I mean, that's it. I mean, you see the pictures because
how many other people do you see for 2 hours a week? Other than
not many,
guy?
Not many.
And about my point being, and just like
probably more conservative
what's
people.
His name that ran for mayor. What's his name? Ran for mayor
here?
Yeah, for mayor.
Glenn.
Glenn Coble.
Yeah.
No question where Glenn is.
Oh, absolutely not.
Glenn is a staple too on the show. Mary Ellen's a staple on the show, and you've had some others in the past that were. But my point.
I probably see you more than I see Glenn.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. See,
but
I mean, you know, I think it's that's just publicity outside the box. I think
I'm not knocking you.
No. I'm just saying. But I do. I mean, this is a thing that's going around. But I think if I took this exact same show to Columbus, they'd call me a conservative. It's just the same. You have DeWine on. What are you doing having DeWine on?
It shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't, but it is.
I want to hear people talk. I want to hear different sides of the coin. And then I love it when somebody that's in my camp just buries someone in the other camp in a debate. I mean, I love that. But
you learn something.
But I heard something, and sometimes I learn some things I didn't know.
And we're out of time.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Resources. Officers were able to identify the involved vehicle, and they subsequently located that vehicle parked